Open your Bibles up to John chapter number 8 this morning. John chapter 8, we're going to deviate from the book of Acts for a couple weeks here. We're going to go back to John chapter 8. John chapter number 8, I want to declare my dependence this morning. I want to declare my dependence of salvation upon Jesus Christ. My dependence of salvation, for salvation, is not upon my efforts and my abilities. My dependence of salvation is upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. During the Revolutionary War, Nathan Hale was captured by the British, and he was tried as a spy. And he was going to be executed because he was a spy for the American army. And one of his speeches, in the very last line of his speech, was this: "Give me liberty or give me death." Now, brothers and sisters, he wasn't speaking about liberty as in salvation. He was talking about being a free American. He was talking about being free from British oppression. He was talking about being free from the rule of England. But brothers and sisters, let me share with you this morning, I say the same statement: give me liberty or give me death. Now you say, wait a minute, you're an American, you are free. Yes, I'm a free as an American, but my salvation is not based upon me being an American. My salvation is based upon the liberty that Jesus Christ has given me by dying for me. And so I want liberty. I want freedom from sin, and instead, I want to be bound by the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So this morning, I want us to understand we have liberty. We don't have to have death. We have liberty, and we have liberty from sin. We have liberty from oppression. We have liberty from the naysayers. We have liberty in Jesus Christ this morning. And if you've been liberated in Jesus Christ, would you say amen this morning? Amen. Thank God for the liberty Jesus has given us. So John chapter number 8, Jesus is having a discussion and an argument, an animated argument, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who try to get the people to keep the rules, to keep the commandments, to follow all the laws and all the rules, and they did that so people could be free from their sins. But the problem was, and we understand it from the New Testament that Paul teaches, that if you break one commandment, if you do one thing wrong, you have essentially broken them all. And if you break the commandments, if you sin, you are bound for hell. For the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so therefore, if you've sinned one time, you've completely sinned and you've obliterated any hope you have of salvation on your own. And so the Pharisees would teach, hey, you got a bunch of rules and regulations that you have to follow. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't participate. You can't think. You can't. All kinds of rules they set up. And Jesus came and said, listen, I've not come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. I have come to give you freedom, not rules. I've come to give you freedom, not commandments. I've come to give you freedom, not based upon what you do, but I've come to give you freedom based upon what I'm going to do. That's the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. And so here in John chapter number 8, we're going to pick up in verse number 31. He's speaking to them, and he says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many of you are glad as Americans you are free? I am so thankful for the men and women who have died down through the years defending our freedom as Americans. They've laid their life down. And you look back and you look at all the wars and all the situations and the Medal of Honor winners, people who have sacrificed everything so that we as Americans can enjoy the freedoms that we have. And I honor them this morning, and I thank God for them. But guess what? Just because I'm an American doesn't mean I have total freedom. See, I have the rights as an American, but my freedom is not based upon an American. My freedom is based upon Jesus Christ. See, Jesus has come to make us free. See, in sin we're bound, but in the blood we're free. Verse number 33, he says, they answered him. It says, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that you shall be made free?" Say, listen, we're not slaves. Nobody owns us. How are you saying that we're bound? Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." He says, listen, if you sin, you become a servant of sin. Now, many of you know, you come here oftentimes, and you know I like to have participation from the congregation. So if those of you who are visiting, you can participate or not participate. Some people do, some people don't. But let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever sinned? Some of you didn't raise your hand, so you just sinned right there. Guess what? If we do one sin, we become servants of sin. You can't help it. You're living in the flesh. Your flesh desires to sin. You desire to lie. You desire to cheat. You desire to do all the filthy things that sin involves itself in. We are in the flesh. It's not an excuse. It's just the truth. And so we serve sin. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand, if you are a sinner, then you are a slave to sin. You can't help it. That is you, who you are. He's trying to get them to understand that you don't have to live that way any longer. See, if I live my life according to a bunch of rules, and I can stand before God and say, "God, guess what? I kept all the rules. I was a good guy. I gave money. I helped old people across the street. I dug ditches for this, and I did this, and I did this." But then I break one rule. I am slave to sin. And that's what the people were living under. They were living under rules and regulations. They were living under the law. They were bound. Maybe this morning, you're that way. Now, I don't have a microphone, so I got to speak real loud. Maybe some of you are living your life under the rules and regulations of what somebody has placed over you. They've told you, okay, you be a good little boy, you be a good little girl, and if you put your effort forth and you follow these rules, then you're going to be okay. As long as you're better than you are bad, it's going to be all right. But here's my question I have for you. Where does the scale finally fall? When do you do finally good enough to outweigh all the bad? Is there some kind of big heavenly scale up in heaven, and every time you do good, it's filled with rocks or gold or whatever, and it starts coming down this way, but then sure enough, you start doing bad, and it starts tilting back that way? That's not a way to live. You're so scared to death to do wrong. Because if you do wrong, guess what? It tilts the wrong way. And then you're going to bed at night saying, "Oh no, what did I do more of today? Did I do so wrong that I'm down here?" And you're just going nutso and crazy. And you're trying to please people, and you're trying to please yourself, and you're trying to please laws and rules, and you're just going nuts. You think, "I can't do it no more." You're a slave to sin. And that's what was going on in these people's lives. They had no hope. How many of you would like to go to bed every night wondering if you did good enough that
do what pleased me. I didn't have no scale of right and wrong. I just pleased myself. I was a slave to sin. And so every day, it didn't matter to me. But then Jesus came into my life. I asked Jesus Christ to save me from all my sins. And guess what? That scale that I never even knew existed totally disappeared. And all I had was God living inside of me, helping me to do right and not to do wrong. I became free. Let me ask you a question. Look at me for a moment. Because only you can answer this question. Are you free? I'm not saying are you an American. Are you free from sin? Has Jesus paid for your sin? You say, of course he has. He's paid for the sins of the entire world. Yes. But has that been applied to you? Have you personally asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ? And that's what Jesus is trying to help these guys understand. Hey, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, so the first source of freedom you have, brothers and sisters, is you don't have to follow rules and regulations anymore. Now, I know some of you are thinking, all right, man, then I can live like I want to live then. I can go ahead and do what I want to do, and I can participate in what I want to participate. Anything my flesh wants, woohoo, I'm free. No. You are free from having to live that way anymore. How many of you would agree sin eventually destroys? You start down that path, you start down the, oh, I'm going to freely enjoy, you're eventually going to run out of gas, your tires are going to go flat, your engine's going to blow up, and you're going to be thinking, oh no, what do I do now? Freedom comes at a cost. Have you ever walked through a national cemetery before? I've always wanted to go to Normandy. I've always wanted to look at the graves and to see the crosses. I've only seen them on TV and through movies. I've been to a national cemetery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's where my dad and my grandfather are buried, both veterans. And I've gone down looking and seeing the different graves and the different crosses. And there's Native Americans buried there. There's Hispanics buried there, whites buried there, blacks buried there. Guess what? The color doesn't matter if the crosses are all white. And I read those things, and I see the dates, June 6th, 1944. I see the dates of those who died on the beaches of Normandy. I see those who died at the Battle of the Bulge. I see those who died on Iwo Jima. I see those who died on Saipan. I see all those graves, and I see what they represent. And I understand and realize that if we didn't stop those countries from overwhelming the world, that we wouldn't have a free American that we have right now. But you know what? I go to look for the body of Jesus. I go to look for a cross buried in the ground somewhere where I can go to a grave, and I can't find it. You know why? Because my Savior's not dead. My Savior died on my behalf. My Savior shed his blood on my behalf, but my Savior got up from that grave. And my Savior sits next to God right now, making intercession for me with his blood. And therefore, because he does that, I am free. How about you? Are you free this morning? See, you don't have to sin any longer. You don't have to do wrong any longer. You don't have to worry about following rules and regulations to make yourself free anymore. You have the freedom to live as Jesus expects you to and requires you to, because he's already done it for you. If the Son shall make you free,
you shall be free indeed. No longer bound by sin, but freed by the blood. And all God's people said, and even those on the shelf, amen, there we go. Now, that was all introduction. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 real quick for me. Galatians chapter number 5. See, this is what Paul preached to these people. He's preached to the churches and to everybody he went and spoke to. He said, listen, you're free. You no longer have to live under bondage. You don't have to longer live under rules and regulations. Now, we need to follow the commandments. We need to do those things, not to be free from sin, but to live our lives the way God intends for us to live. So I'm not saying let's get rid of the Ten Commandments, and I'm not saying, hey, let's get away from what Jesus teaches us, but that doesn't save us. I live according to those because I am saved. Makes a big difference. Now, Galatians chapter number 5, Paul is dealing with a problem in the church here. Apparently, as he was teaching and as these people were getting saved, there were people who were creeping into the congregations. And they were coming in. They were saying, listen, you got to do this to really be free. You got to get circumcised, or you got to follow these rules of dietary convictions in order to really be free. Yes, Jesus saved you. But in really order to please him, you got to follow all these things to really be saved. And so when Paul would teach and Paul would write these letters, people were free and they were happy. But then sure enough, doubt starts creeping in again. See, we as human beings, we want to follow rules. We really do. We want to have a list of knowing how to do. How many of you, before you go on vacation, does your spouse make a list of things that need to get done? Oh, come on now, guys. Some of you are afraid to lift your hands. We're getting ready to go to Disneyland or Disney World. My wife had 2 pages of things that we need to take care of. All right now, guys, here's your chance. How many of you can relate? All right, there you go. All right? And she's got a check, but I'm glad she's thorough like that because not me. We'd get done and we'd go to the house and just start throwing things that was up to me. All right? We'd inevitably forget something. But in order for us to have a good trip, we have a list that we follow. These people were creeping into the congregation saying, listen, if you really want to be a good Christian, if you really want to be someone who God loves, you got to do this and do this and do this. Because if you don't, guess what? God really doesn't love you. And you're really not a real Christian if you don't do this and do this and do this and do this. How many of you agree? That's miserable.
Amen.
Here's what Paul writes to these folks and he's teaching them. Alright? Galatians chapter number 5. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see who made us free? Who made us free, church? We're in church, you can say that name. It's okay, let's try it again. Who made us free, church? Christ did. You notice it does not say your own efforts. You notice it does not say the Ten Commandments. You notice it does not say man's rules and regulations. It says Christ has made us free. And because I'm free in Christ, I'm no longer bound. I'm free. But look what he says. He says Christ hath made us free. And he says to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now that word entangled means in a web that completely surrounds you. If you are bound by rules and regulations, or you are bound by the desire to sin, you are entangled and you can't be free. Jesus frees us from the desire to sin, and he frees us from the rules and regulations of man. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I'm a Baptist. I like those rules and regulations. Because if I keep those rules and regulations, then guess what? That shows that I'm a real good Christian. Well, you can keep the rules and regulations. I think everything ought to be done decently and in order. But don't trust those things to save you. Do those things because you are saved. Understand? Make a difference. I'm not saying let's go hilly-nilly. I'm not saying, woohoo, party! I'm saying, woohoo, party in Jesus. Big difference. Verse number 2. Paul says, behold, I, Paul, I say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See, these guys were creeping in saying, listen, now that you're a Gentile and you really want to be a Jew, you got to be a Jew throughout. In other words, you got to get circumcised. Now, some of the kids are saying, what is that? Ask your mom and dad after church. They'll explain it to you. Amen. Amen, Jonathan. All right. It's a good opportunity. And all the moms and dads are saying, thanks a lot, Brother Brian. I appreciate that. He's not necessarily talking only about the act. He's saying, listen, if somebody creeps in and tells you that you got to follow a bunch of rules and regulations of the Jews to really be saved, he says, listen, that's not the way it is. See, these guys were coming in saying, if you want to be a Jew, you got to do this and you got to do that, you got to do this and you got to do that. And he's saying in verse number 3, he says, listen, I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. He says, listen, if you want to do that, if you want to go ahead and go through that ritual, go ahead. But guess what? If you're counting on that for salvation, then you got to keep the entire Jewish dietary law. How many of you enjoy shrimp? How about a good old pork barbecue sandwich? Ooh, yes. How about all those other hoofing animals? I know we're in the mountains. We eat a lot of different kinds of animals. Squirrel and raccoon. In Mississippi, they eat armadillo. You're not hungry anymore, are you? You know what? The dietary laws say we can't eat specific. So if you're going to follow all the Jewish laws, you can't have shrimp anymore. Lobster, catfish. You can't have those things anymore because they're garbage-eating animals. Pigs? Whoo! Nope, off the menu. You want to follow all the laws? You got to follow all of them to make yourself righteous. And Paul was saying, listen, you don't understand the slippery slope you're getting into. If you want to be a Jew, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to show that by your outward appearance. You show it by how you live inwardly. Verse number 4. He says, if you do that, that Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. He says, listen, if you keep the law and that makes you justified, guess what? Grace is of no effect. Grace doesn't exist. Grace doesn't have anything to do with you because you are justifying yourself by what you do.
The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. I appreciate that. Well, the Bible says that. We're going to die. And then it says, after this, the judgment. We're all going to be judged one day. We're all going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. Now, if I'm given an account based upon what I've done, I am in a lot of trouble. When do I finally get good enough to present myself to God and say, God, look what I've done? road, Jack, and don't come back. No more, no more, no more, no more. But you know what? When I die, I'll stand before God covered in the blood. Amen. Jesus has taken my judgment. He's taken my place. My works aren't going to do this. It's the work of Jesus that has done it. Somebody wave a hanky and say, thank God.
So he says, if you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You have no hope. But verse number 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. God loved you so much, he sent your solution. And I got to thinking about that. God has seen everything I've ever done. From the very moment that I was conceived in my mother's womb, I was born in sin. I was conceived in sin. And every single thing that I've ever done, God has witnessed. And it's nothing, nothing to be proud of. But yet from the very moment of my conception, you know what God whispered? I love that person. From the very moment that you were conceived, which I believe life begins at conception, God looked down on you and he says, you know what? I love you. Even though you're going to cuss, and even though you're going to lie, and even though you're going to steal, and even though you're going to get involved in all these wicked, nasty things through your life, I still love you. And then you're going to get entangled in sin, and you're going to be required to keep rules and regulations, and it's not going to work, and you're going to be wondering, and you're going to be doubtful, and you're going to be scared. I'm going to provide a way for you to be free, and you're not going to have to do anything about it except trust the grace I offer to you. When I finally realized that I can't earn anything, I became free. Do you have that freedom this morning?
Are you so afraid that this week has really messed you up? This month, this past month, all the things you got involved in? Are you really afraid that you've lost that freedom? You say, Brother Brian, I don't know. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been involved in. No, I don't. I don't need to know. But I know this. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for salvation, guess what? It's covered. You're free to live for Jesus because of what Jesus has done. You're free. I want to close with this illustration that Jesus gave us himself. Remember the lady caught in adultery? Remember that story? She was out doing some things she ought to be done. And the kids, if you want to know adultery, ask your parents about that one. What an interesting conversation we're going to have this afternoon. Amen. She was caught doing what she ought to be done. And Jesus was in the temple, and he was teaching, and he was telling the people about freedom through him. And all of a sudden they come and throw her down right in front of him. And they ask him, what are you going to do about this one, Jesus? Our laws say she ought to be stoned. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? Well, he was in a rock and a hard place. That's pun intended. He had to make a choice. You know what Jesus did? He just simply began to draw on the sand. And they're waiting for him. Matter of fact, I can see they got rocks in their hands already because they're ready to stone her and they're ready to stone him. They're waiting for him to slip up to give them an excuse to kill him. And he just sits there and draws in the sand. And I can just see the picture. He looks up and he looks at every single one of them who are condemning her and saying, which of you has no sin? Let him be the first one to throw the stone. You know what happened? All we heard, or all they heard, and all she heard, was rocks being dropped. He went back to drawing. He looked back up, and guess what? They were all gone. Pile of rocks laying there. Now, she was still there. She was still in bad shape. She was still, I'm sure she was starting to dry her tears by this time. She was a sinner. She had done wrong. She'd been caught. And then Jesus looked at her and said, where are your accusers? See, that's what the law does. It accuses us of doing wrong. And we're caught because we've done wrong. And she looks around. I can see her lips trembling. They're not here anymore. Jesus said, well, I condemn you and you're going to hell. Is that what Jesus said? If your Bible says that, get rid of it. He says, I don't condemn you either. I've made you free. And then he adds something. Now go and sin no more. I made you free! But that doesn't mean you can keep living that way. Brothers and sisters, you are free through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven, never to be remembered ever again, not to be brought up by God. When we stand before God, he's not going to say, look at your sin. All he sees is the blood. But he says, don't do it no more. You don't have to live there anymore. When I left the ghettos of Albuquerque where I grew up, and it was bad. You watch Cops and you see Albuquerque? That's where I lived. Guess what? I don't got to live there no more because I live in North Carolina. Close to heaven, amen? I don't have to live there no more. I'm free from sin, and I don't have to live there no more. Are you free? If the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Thank God for my freedom as an American. Thank God for the rights that I have in a free country to worship. But thank God for the freedom I have in Jesus. Never to be taken away. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Free! You are free today. You have liberty. But maybe some of you this morning don't have that liberty. Maybe some of you are still bound by sin. Sin is making you act and do a certain thing at a certain time in a certain way, and you can't help it. May I tell you this morning, you can have freedom by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The altar is a perfect place for you to come. I've got people waiting and willing to take the Bible and show you how you can be free. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to commit to me. I'm asking you to trust Jesus Christ to save your soul this morning. There's some of you who have been made free by the blood, but you're under the bondage of sin again. Maybe you're trying to follow rules and regulations, and you're trying to make other people follow rules and regulations. You're free. Stop living in bondage. Start living in the freedom Jesus has given you. Thank God I'm an American. But I thank God I'm a Christian first and foremost. You know exactly what's taking place in our lives. I ask you, God, right now that you would make us free from sin. There's folks in here this morning whose souls have not been saved. Oh, they may have said a prayer one time. Maybe they're counting on their parents going to church, or maybe they go to church and think it's okay, but they're trying to follow rules. May today be the day of freedom for them. Maybe there's some Christians who have been saved, but God, they're bound in sin again. They're bound by the fleshly desires. I pray, God, today would be a day of independence from those sins and dependence upon you. Help us celebrate that today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Head bowed, eyes closed. As Brother Danny begins to sing, I invite you to come. Won't you just come right now? Hold eyes closed. Won't you come? Won't you come? There you go. Just come on ahead. Just come on ahead.